But last week we talked about friend zone, and we said, wouldn't it be great if we had a whole bunch of people surrounding us who believed in us, who thought good things for us? If our friend zone, instead of being a negative thing, would be a positive thing, we say, we're going to try to put a few people in our friend zone that might encourage us and influence us in a positive direction. We talked about how sometimes there are some people who you should have interaction with and you should care for and you should love, but you shouldn't necessarily put them in a place of influence in your life. So we talked about establishing a friend zone. Well, I know sometimes when we talk about that, some people, and maybe a lot of us, feel like, well, the problem is I can't get people to come in my friend zone. The problem is I can't get friends. The problem is I've tried that whole friendship thing. I don't trust people. I don't want to walk down that path. And when you talk about friend zone and deciding who you're going to kick out, I have no one to kick out because there's no one in there. Well, this week I'm going to tell you how to get friends. Welcome to church. That's a good one. I'm glad you're here. Like, finally, I can know. And if you're not a Christian, you're like, a Christian is going to tell me how to make friends? Are you kidding me? Yeah, but look at this. Look at all of these friends in here. This is a good place to be. Okay, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Friends are good to have. We get that. It's good to walk with someone. I don't know if you've ever had someone, when you fall down, that they stop and pick you up, dust you off, help you carry on. Mostly that's called children for me right now. I'm dusting them off constantly, and that's just how it goes as you become a parent. But I don't know. When I lived in Williams Lake, I had a hard time finding friends. I had my youth group. You guys should be happy about your youth group. In my youth group, there were two boys and eight girls. That was our whole youth group. That was everyone that was there. Like, we looked around the whole city, said, are there any Christian youth that would like to get together? And we had 10 people total, two guys. And so I didn't have a lot of friends that I wanted to have on my influence circle, in my friend zone. I had lots of acquaintances. I had lots of people in my high school that I liked and liked me, and we got along fine. But I wanted some people in my friend zone. So I literally, two different occasions in my life, felt like I had no friends to put in my friend zone. So I prayed, God, do something about this. I'm lonely. You know, I have no friends. I need someone in my life. Two times he answered that prayer with one friend, literally only one. So I had a best friend for years and years and years, and that person got into some things that I didn't want to get into, and I didn't feel like I could walk the same direction as they were walking. And so I prayed, God, would you just give me one person who would influence me? I didn't break off that friendship, but I didn't go in the same direction as that friendship. He gave me another person. Then that happened again a few years later. That person started walking in a direction that I didn't feel like I should go. And so I said, God, would you just give me one friend? I just need one more to walk with. One that can encourage me. One that I can encourage. One that can influence me in a positive way. And he did it again. It was funny to look back on some of the prayers that I would have prayed for that friend. Some of the ideas that I had of what I needed in a friend. Okay, God, I need a friend, so here's what I want. So I'll, you know, as if God was Santa or something and I was wishing for something for Christmas. God, here's what I'd like. I'd like someone who listens all the time to what I say. Bonus marks, God, if that person does what I say as well. You know. Lord, if you could just do that, that's all I need. Someone who's going to live. Or God, I need someone who's always available. That's all. It's not that much to ask. I need just someone who's always available to me. I call them. They're at my house. In fact, I don't even call them. They're sitting on my front lawn waiting for me. Like, I just need someone who's always available to me. That's all I need in a friend, God. Would you just help me have someone who's always available? But make sure they're really popular and everyone else wishes they were their friend, but instead they're waiting on my lawn for me. Okay? Like, I need someone who's always available to me, even though everyone else wants them to be available to them. And God, I want someone who's never, ever, ever going to judge me. I want someone who's never going to tell me I'm doing something wrong. I want someone who's never going to have an opinion. However, I do want someone with wise counsel, of course, because the Bible says so. So no opinions, but wise counsel, yes. Always. Like that's what I want, God. You know that. I want them to challenge me to become more. I want them to do more for me than I have to do for them. I want them to help out whenever I ask, whether I'm helping myself or not. I want them to help me. And I'd like them to be generous, you know. I'm tired of paying for my own meals at McDonald's. I'd like for you to give me a friend who will do that for me. Jesus, would you do that? God, I'd like someone who's not needy, of course, you know. I want someone who's not needy, of course. The funny thing about praying that prayer or wanting that type of friend is that is a completely needy prayer. God, would you give me everything that I'm not being right now? Would you help someone to become everything that I'm not being to anyone else right now, please? That's what I need in a friend. I need someone who's going to do for me what I'm unwilling to do for anyone else. If you could do that, that would be great. See, if that's your expectation of a friend, if that's what you expect to get from a friend, I'll tell you what you'll actually get. Disappointed. You'll always be disappointed. There's never going to be a time where you're going to feel like, I can't believe my friend is fulfilling all their duties. They're accomplishing all the tasks. Like, this is an impossible job description. No one is going to apply for that position in your life. No one's going to want to, here's my resume, I'm sorry I'm late, now I'll take up my posting on your front lawn and wait for you to call on me for your every beckoning call. No one wants that position in your life. That's just the reality. And so if you think that someone, a friend, is going to be that for you, I'll tell you for sure you'll be disappointed. You're going to feel disappointed about that. It just happens. We get the idea that someone should be something that they could never be, that no one could ever be for us. I had a youth guy once upon a time in my youth ministry, and he was a great guy, but he'd gone through a lot of things in his life, and so he kept feeling like, I just have no friends. I have no friends. And he had sort of worked through a number of friends. Number of people said over the years, I'm going to become a friend to that person. I'm going to help that person walk through their hurt and walk through their trouble. Eventually, they got tired of being his friend. It was kind of a sad story, but there was this one guy who came along eventually, and he said, Evan, I'm going to do it. I'm going to befriend this guy, and I'm going to watch him walk to healing. I'm going to see him become restored. I'm going to see him become everything that he's supposed to become. Right now, he's got such a limited view. I'm going to help him. And so he committed to that. He was a great guy. So he basically started meeting with him like 6 days a week. He was with him. He was spending time with him all the time. He was praying with him. He was helping him emotionally grow. He was helping him spiritually grow. He was helping him physically grow. They actually went running together. He was training him, every aspect of his life. He was walking with him. He was committed to it. That lasted about 6 months. And it went on like pretty well. And there's these moments it looked like and then it wasn't. And it looked like and then it wasn't. Eventually he came to me and said, I'm done, Evan. I can't do this anymore. I can't be all that he thinks I should be for him anymore. I'm tired of being that person. I just can't. He's disappointed in me every corner. If I don't show up on time, he tells me I didn't. If I miss something, he tells me I guess I don't love him and all these things. And he had all of these hurts in his life that he was waiting for a friend to fix. He was waiting for someone else to fix. Jesus didn't ever promise us that someone else would fix everything in our life because he knew they wouldn't. He knew we'd be disappointed if we wait on someone else. We're supposed to have friends in our life. We're supposed to have someone walking along with us in our lives, but they can't be our salvation. They can't be our everything. They can't be what we're waiting on. In fact, when we pray for that friend, we say, God, I'm just never going to be who I'm supposed to be unless you give me this friend or unless you give me this girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife. I'm never going to be who I'm supposed to be until you do that, God. But God never promised that someone else would be your fulfillment in life. He promised that he would be. That he would be that for you. That he would care for you. in that way. And so this guy, I sat down with him. I said, tell me about what you're thinking. He told me all of these expectations he had for friendship and why if he didn't find that, he wouldn't be able to live the life he was supposed to live. And I said, hey, tell me about your prayer life. He said, yeah. I pray all the time. I pray that God would give me a friend. I pray that God would get someone to do this for me, and that God would make me into this type of person, and that God would this about me and this about me and this about me. I said, hold up a sec. You need to stop praying. It's the only time I've ever said that to someone. I said, you need to stop praying. He said, what do you mean I need to stop praying? I said, even your prayers are all about you. They're all about you. You're waiting on you to get well, and then all of a sudden you can be okay. You're waiting on someone to come and change you. You're waiting on someone to meet you and meet all your needs and all this. Your prayer life to God is about you. Imagine the concept. I'm praying to the Creator of all things, and every single time I do, it's all about me. What? That's crazy to think about. But he did. Kept praying. God, all about me, all about me. I said, listen, you're going to stop praying. Here's what I want you to do. If it's time for you to pray, I don't want you to open your mouth until you open your Bible, and I just want you to read out Psalms to God. That's all he did. I said, for a month, just read out Psalms to God. Just read it out, read it out, read it out, read it out, read it out. Because almost every single Psalm, by the end of the Psalm, turns to God and says, but God, even in all of this, I will turn to you. Even in all of this, you are enough. Even in all of this, I can trust you. So I said, just do that for a month. We did it for a week. He came back after a week. He said, oh, my life has been changed. I'm seeing things in a new way. I can't even believe how much my eyes have been opened. I love the Psalms. I want to read them all the time. I'm going to spend hours in them all the time. They're so good. And I've gotten to focus on God and see Him for all His glory. And heaven, it's okay if I don't have as many friends. It's okay if people can't stand with me. It's okay if I have too many needs for other people because He meets all my needs. It's incredible. Well, I came back the next week, and he had stopped reading Psalms. He thought he was good. And his entire demeanor changed again, where all of a sudden he needed a lot of things again. He needed someone to meet his needs. He needed someone to do something for him. I said, you need to read the Psalms again. He said, no, I've done that. Been there. And he missed it. He missed that chance. Sometimes the reason we don't have a lot of friends in our life is because we haven't learned to be a friend in our life. Sometimes when we say we need a friend, maybe the greater thing that needs to happen is you need to learn to be a friend. Even if you just become a friend, all of a sudden the world starts to have a few more friends to draw from in the pool. We start to have a few more people that others can look to and say, hey, that can be a friend, and that can be a friend, and that can be a friend. And if we feel like we need a friend, instead we need to be a friend. And someone says, yeah, but I need a friend so I can be a friend. I need to be a good friend to someone. I need someone to help me heal so I can be a friend. Well, there's a secret to being a friend. There's a secret. I'm going to share it with you today. It's from Philippians 4:10-19. This is Paul speaking to what I assume is his favorite group of people, the Philippians. I know you're not supposed to choose favorites, but I think Paul did. Anyways, Philippians 4:10-19. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. At first, it sort of seems like Paul is kind of a little bit needy right off the bat. Hey, oh, finally, you're thinking about me again. That's so nice. Anyways. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. Then he says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have, here's the secret, learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Paul says, you've given me things, and I'm so happy that you've given me things, but I'm not happy that you've given me things because I need them, because I don't need anything. Whoa. That's a pretty neat statement for Paul to say. Look, guys, I really like that you're doing this. We're going to find out in a second why he likes that they're doing this. But it's not because I need it. I don't need your relationship. I don't need your friendship. I don't need your money. I don't need these things. I'm actually content in all circumstances. Isn't that great? How many people looked to Paul in those times and said, Paul, we want you to pastor us. We want you to show us yourself. We want to learn how to be. We want to be friends with you. Why? Because he was content in all circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. For us in relationships, we're thinking, I know what it is to not have that many friends, and I also know what it is to have loads of friends around me. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So the secret is to be content, and now he's going to share the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, here it is, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Sometimes when we think of that verse, that verse is quoted probably more than any other verse in Scripture. At every grad ceremony, you know, there's lots of family gatherings at church many times. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We hear that all the time. I can do all things. And it's about this dream of watch the elaborate things that I'll do with my life. Imagine the incredible things that will happen through me. Imagine what I will take hold of. Imagine how much money I'll make and give away. Imagine how many lives I'll save. Imagine how many cures I'll create. Imagine all of these things I can do in my life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Watch what I can do. You know, that's sort of what we imagine. That's kind of what we dream of. I actually heard Carey Price from the Montreal Canadiens speak that in a church service one day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And every kid watching on goes, yes, I can be the number one goaltender in the NHL too, because Christ has strengthened me. We start to get this idea, but Here's the context we find it in with Paul. I can be in need, or I can have plenty. I can have not enough, or I can have too much. I can have brokenness, or I can have restoration. I can have sadness, or I can have happiness. I can have terrible circumstances or great circumstances, big house or small house, great meals or terrible meals, great hair days or no hair days. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not Paul saying, watch how much I can do here. It's Paul saying, watch how much I can endure here. Watch how much I can handle here. And when I have Jesus as my everything, I can be content in all situations only through Jesus. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles, he says. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. That's cool. The Bible teaches us over and over, and this is one of those moments, that our accounts don't get credited in the kingdom of God by taking or by stealing or by earning. They get credited by giving. Our accounts are credited by giving. It's a different mentality. It's not about acquiring. It's about giving. It's not about taking and stealing and hoarding. It's about giving. The more that we learn to give away, the more that we're credited. I don't know what that crediting is going to mean for your life. It may mean that in this life, you're going to have a little bit more. You're going to prosper in certain ways. But it may mean that in heaven, you get a crown with a few more jewels on it. I don't know what it'll mean exactly for you. But I do know that in the currency of God, when we want something, we need to stop wanting it and just start giving it. And when we do, we're going to experience a crediting that no one else can give to us other than God. So Paul says, I don't really have a need, and yet you're still giving to me, and I'm so excited about it. You think, why are you so excited about that when you don't have a need? And Paul says, because all that you give to me will be credited to you. God notices it. God sees it. God notices the quiet moments where you decide, I'm just going to give this little bit extra. I'm going to spend this little extra time. I'm going to help this person move, which everyone knows is the worst thing to do. I'm going to give the shirt off my back this one time. I'm going to be a little bit more patient with my spouse this time. I'm going to spend a little bit more time with my kids than with my work, because even though my kids won't move my promotion faster, I can see that God has called me to raise these guys well. What might it be, that little thing that when we give, it will be credited to us? He says, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. That's a neat finish. I was only going to use that verse this week, and then I read the whole passage. And it hit me in a bigger way. He actually starts by saying, listen, I have all that I need. And then he carries on about their relationship and how they've invested in him and he's invested in them and things. And then he finishes it saying, you will have all you need. If you want all you need relationally, give all that you would need to someone else relationally. Think, no, I have nothing to give. Well, God will give it to you. As you give it, he gives you more. It's credited to your account. If you need something, if you need some joy in your life, try sharing a little joy. If you feel like you need some money in your life, try being a little bit generous with someone. If you feel like you need a friend in your life, try being a friend to someone else. This is what it's about. If you want people to want to be friends with you, you start to be friends with people. And sometimes when someone says that, you say, okay, I think I will. I'm going to go find the highest person in society that I know, because if I can be friends with them, then I'll really get some friends. If I could just become friends with that person who everyone knows and everyone wants to be like, if I could become friends with that person, then I would probably get some friends in my life. But that's not what it's about here. It's about giving to someone who's in need. Probably that person who's somewhere up in society doesn't need a lot of friends. And if you need someone to give you friendship, find someone with a need for friendship and give them friendship. Watch what that starts to do. Watch what starts to take place in their life, in your life, and in the way that others look to you. You see, that person's content. It's hard to look at someone who has nothing but needs and feel like, I'd love to spend a lot of time with them. Some of us are called to it, and probably all of us are called to it at some point or another, that we need to walk with those people. However, it's not easy. It's never going to be easy to walk up to someone and say, I can't believe how many needs you have. I would just love to spend more and more time with you. Because we all feel like we have needs. We all feel like there's something we need. And some people say, yeah, but I have more than the rest. Well, you don't know that. And God didn't call anyone. He didn't say to anyone else, this is how you need to be friends with that person. He didn't say to anyone else, here's how you have to be friends with Pastor Evan. He said, Pastor Evan, here's how you need to be friends with those people. God hasn't put the commands on anyone else for your life. He just put commands on your life for others. We can't read the Bible and say, excuse me, this is how you need to befriend me. We say, I know how I'm supposed to love. And I know who I'm supposed to care for. And I'll be accountable to only God for how well I do that. And I'm going to hold no one else accountable to anyone but God for how they're doing at it. Pastor George and Jessica, you can come on up here. And some of the worship team and maybe the servers are going to come join them at communion. It's communion morning today. And so we're going to wrap up here. But these guys are going to go just take communion before the worship team comes and helps us transition into it ourselves. I wrote down three ideas for when we have contentment in relationships, contentment in friendships, what that will look like for us. First one is this. We won't expect a friend to be something that we're not. If we have contentment in our lives and we've said that I can be content through Christ, then we won't expect someone to be a friend that we're not being to someone. We often do that. We often say, because of my needs, someone needs to be my friend. But God's saying, hey, because of all the needs around you, you need to be a friend. You don't need to just find someone who's not being good enough and tell them how they should be good enough in your life. Instead, find someone who needs you to be good enough. Find someone who needs you to be all that you can be. Find someone who needs you to be the loving, Christian, caring, compassionate person that you can be. Find someone. Second one is if we're content in our friendships, we will give more than we require. Oh, we think, okay, here's what I need from a friendship. That list that I started out with, okay, I need someone who's going to do this with me and someone who's going to, you know, pray with me and walk with me and spend time with me and always be available to me and all of those things. Wait. But are you that? Because God calls you to that. Are you that? Are you all that someone needs? Is there someone in your life that you know if you just made yourself available to them, their life would be changed? Instead of focusing on how many people aren't that to you, it's time to start to focus on how you could be that to someone else. Require less of the friend and more of yourself. In friendship, are you requiring more of other people than you're even requiring for yourself? Contentment says, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. Good friends or not, I don't need anything. You don't stay in that place. That's not an arrogant place. I don't need you. It's not that. It's I'm okay, which means I can be all that you need. I'm okay, which means I can invest in you. I'm okay because Jesus is for me, so I can be for you rather than against you. Often we try to gain friends by being against them. Hey, you're not being a good enough friend to me. That person's not going to say, oh, darn, that sounds so nice. That person's going to say, I want to avoid you right now because you're judging me. And one of your stipulations for friendship is that I wouldn't judge you. So how are you putting that on me? And the last one that I wrote down is stop seeking attention and start living on mission. You know what people are drawn to? I've always believed this. People are drawn to vision. If you have a dream about what you're going to accomplish in life, if you have a dream about where you're going or what you're going to do or how you're going to do it, if you have a passion about where you're going to go and you talk to people and say, this is the best, here's what's going to happen in Comox Valley, here's what Jesus is doing in my life, here's where I'm going to go and I'm just going to believe for it. And you don't say, hey, so how are you going to partner and how are you going to make it happen for me? But you just say, here's what's happened. I believe God is going to provide everything I need because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. People are going to come around you and say, I want to be by you. I want to walk with you. Really? You're going to do that? You're going to change this whole valley? You're going to see God move in that kind of way? You're going to build that kind of program? You're going to care for that kind of people? I want to be with you in that. People just want to join you at that time. Whereas if we just say, hey, someone notice me, it's hard to. I know that hurts sometimes because we think, why is no one noticing me? But humans will always disappoint. Some point or another, even your best friends, they're going to disappoint you at some point. That would be terrible news if we weren't in a church right now. But since we're in a church right now, I get to tell you about the one who never will disappoint. So that's the good news. Though you will be disappointed in every other relationship, God will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will stand beside you. That's what He's promised to us. That's what He said to us. We're going to take communion today. And communion is, you know, for believers, for people who believe. You wouldn't understand it if you didn't believe. What we're saying in communion time is that Jesus died for us. He died for our sins so that we could know Him, so that we could know the Father, so we could experience the fullness of life that He gives. And some today are sitting here saying, yeah, I've been let down by friends constantly. And you've never heard about the idea that there's a Jesus who says, I won't let you down. You call on me, I will be there. You ask for me, I will stand by you. Though you get disappointed in other areas, though maybe your mom or your dad didn't treat you well, or those friends or that teacher or whatever didn't treat you well, I will be there. If today you say, I need my life to be turned over to Him. I need to follow Him. I need to connect my heart to Jesus, because He's something that I've been waiting for. He's that thing that I've needed. He's that contentment that I've never had while my heart is raging and my life is going crazy and my circumstances are uncontrollable and I'm feeling overwhelmed. I need to find contentment. Jesus is the answer for that. He brings contentment. If you want to feel that in your life, today you can say, Jesus, I turn my life over to you. My wild, raging, storm-ridden life. And I ask you to calm the storms. And I want to journey with you for the rest of time. I want to follow you for the rest of time. I want to know your grace and your love for the rest of time. If that's your heart today, then when the communion comes by you, you can take it and say, I want this in my life. I want to take in the Holy Spirit. I want to have my life completely transformed. And in this moment, I want to remember that Jesus Christ, who through His death and His resurrection, gave me life and contentment so that I can be all that I need to everyone that He asks me to be. Paul says of the communion table, for I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We celebrate the death of Jesus because the death of Jesus is what took all of our sins. And we celebrate the life of Jesus because the life of Jesus is what gives us eternal life. That starts now. If you want that in your life, receive the Lord into your heart today. Make a simple prayer. In fact, can we all close our eyes for a moment? Today, that's your commitment to Jesus. You say, I need that. I need that. I need Jesus to change me. I need Him to, I want to walk with Him. I want to know that contentment. I want to know that my life is taken care of. Even when we talk about the credit that we receive for giving, you want to receive a different kind of life. If you don't know Jesus, every time you give something, it's gone. But when you know Jesus, when you give something, you gain something more. Something greater. If today you say, I want to be on that type of currency, I want to live this life for eternity and follow Jesus, my life, then pray this prayer with me before we take communion. Jesus, I need you. And I came to church today and maybe didn't know it. But now I know it. What you're doing in my heart right now is real. What you're doing in my life right now is real. And though I thought I needed friends and people before I could be who I was supposed to be, now I know I just need you. Jesus, take my life. Lead me. And I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the blood that was shed for me. I thank you that today I get to remember you just as we were told to. And I look forward to the day when I enjoy this meal with you at the last banquet that will be prepared for me in heaven. So it's with joy that I take this bread and this juice so I can remember the body and the blood that were broken and spilled for me. Jesus, take my life. Lead me. In your name I pray. Amen.